Turn to your bulletin today and go back to the Old Testament reading, Isaiah. Isaiah is he's a tough talker. You can't read this passively. I can anyway. Whenever I read it, you need Charlton Heston on the mountain reading this. That's how it's supposed to be read. It's not supposed to be read lightly like this. Listen to me, all you pursue righteousness. You who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord, that's not how he spoke. He was not a huggy guy, this Isaiah. He was there. Listen to me, all you who pursue righteousness, all you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Those are powerful words. And I love any stone analogy because it's something that we don't do much. We don't cut stone anymore. People have to do it. You know, you see it on YouTube or special things, but nobody, it's a hard thing to cut stone. I've been to a rock quarry. And it takes hours, if you do it by hand, it takes forever to cut a large piece of granite or marble from a rock. It takes forever to dig it out. That's why they have these giant things, these giant machines to do it now, because it just takes, in these days, it took days upon days to break out large pieces of sandstone or granite or whatever they had, basalt. It took forever. It was a massive undertaking. As a matter of fact, Jesus' father, Joseph the carpenter, did rock carving, rock hewing. Hewing? He cut rock, too. It wasn't just working with wood. And so it was a huge undertaking. And it also meant, you know, when we want to know a civilization, when we want to know something about them, one of the first things we do is identify the material they used and where did it come from? How did they get the rocks in Stonehenge from the place where they came from hundreds of miles away to Stonehenge? How did they get the rocks and the pyramids? Where did they come from? We know where that happened. We know the industry. It's important. And so here we're saying, Isaiah is looking at the people and saying, you are looking in the wrong direction. You are under stress. You are in trouble and you are not looking towards your foundation. You are not running back to God. One of the biggest problems that the people of Israel had was that they had this great long history of pocket gods, of gods they would keep with them, of little gods they would have in their households. And yes, many of them would pray to Yahweh, and they would pray, and they were Jewish, and they were faithful, but they would also be just hanging on to that little extra thing they used to have from their mama's family, you know. Uncle Johnny passed down this little godlet that we keep in our corner. In the psalm, it says, I will kneel down before all gods, little g. There are people all around him worshiping the non-one God. And it's a waste of their time and a waste of his time. And he's saying, I'm not going to do it. I worship the one God. And here the people of Israel, Isaiah's speaking to, have been overcome by a huge kingdom. They have been spread out. They are all over the world now. And God is calling to them to not lean on the gods that these people, the conquerors, have given them, but to lean on the one God, the God of Abraham, the God of Sarah, the God of the foundation, the God who made them, to lean in to that God. Remember from which quarry they were cut, from which quarry they were dug. And it's the very same for us. When we struggle, when we are in chaos, when we are frustrated, even when we are joyful, do we lean in to Jesus or do we pull away? Do we find other examples? Oh, I was so excited about the eclipse because science finally did what science said it was going to do. As somebody who studied biology for so long, science is sort of wishy. You know, animal behavior does not always follow exactly what you think it's going to do. And it's some animal, you think it's going to do this and it'll bite your leg, you know. But the moon passed in front of the sun and all I could say was praise God. And I was excited that the scientists figured out how to tell us what to see, because it was an amazing thing. But I didn't lean away to Carl Sagan at that point and say, thanks be to Carl Sagan. Thanks be to the astronomers. I praise the name of the guy in the telescope. No. Because they didn't make the sun, the moon, the stars. They didn't give me the great gift of being in a place where the totality of the eclipse was in my life and in the lives of my family. God did. And so I lean into him. Now, I'm a priest, and granted, I'm reminded constantly that God is God. I know that you're not, and you have a lot of other influences, and I'm sitting in front of Bibles 24/7. I understand that. The truth is that as the body of Christ, in all situations, we should lean in. We should remember our foundation and lean into God. I mean, here we have these people in the letter to the Romans, this proto, the beginning of the church. Who put this here? I did. The Jewish church. And now Paul's coming on the scene and Peter's doing it too. He's saying, hey, we got to talk to these other people. They don't know the Lord, but those aren't our people. They don't understand our history. They don't have Moses. They don't have the prophets. They don't understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of our prophecy, not theirs. And he says, listen, the Bible says that God will save the world, not just your world, but the whole world. And so we got to reach out to these people who are not like us, who speak a different dialect, who have different God, they have different theological backgrounds. They are struggling with a lot of other things we're not struggling with. They have to come from many gods to one God. You don't have to do that. You have to figure out the Trinity, but that takes 300 years. And they're saying, having trouble with this. You know, and they have little church meetings, and they're getting together, and they're meeting outside of where Paul is, and they're meeting outside of where the elders are, and they're figuring this out. Some of them will break off. We'll never see him again. But there's a difference in that everyone needs Jesus. And that when this struggle comes, instead of saying, this is too hard for me, I don't understand it, they lean into Jesus instead of away from him. And he's bringing these people into the faith, out of darkness into light. But the biggest struggle that I see in all these verses today was the one that seems like a no-brainer. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do you think that I am? Because it means a huge risk. It means that once you admit it, once you sell out and you're part of this story, that your life will probably not be as long as you want it to be. Jesus, who do you think that I am? He calls himself the Son of Man in this story, which is interesting because that is what in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, the Son of Man is another word for the Messiah. It's a code word, kind of, the Son of Man. He calls himself the Son of Man. Who do they say the Son of Man is? That's what he calls himself all the time. And he says, well, some people say the Son of Man is John the Baptist. Some people say the Son of Man is Elijah. Some people say he's already come. Some people say he's not come yet. Some people say he's come, but he was here and now he's gone. And Jesus said, well, who do you think that I am? And Peter, this is one of those times when his impulsiveness and his clarity of thought works for him instead of against him. He says, oh, well, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the chosen one. You're the Son of God. Plain as day. No mincing words. Can you imagine if you really believed that and you're standing in front of that person? Oh, yeah, you're the Messiah. I've been blessed enough to be next to you for 3 years. I get to be part of your ministry. You're the Son of God. I get to be an instrument of your peace in this world. You're the Son of God. You are who you say you are. I've seen it. I've seen the miracles. I got wet once, you know, when I walked on the water for a little bit. And then you saved me. I saw these things and I believe you. You're the Son of God. And he leaned into Jesus. Now, later on, down the road, way down the road, he died because of that faith. But before that, hundreds of thousands of people came to know Jesus because of him, because of the other disciples. He leaned into Jesus and didn't lean away. And the very same struggle happens every day in the life of the Christian because we have so many other things to fall back on. I fall back on my family, and it's fine. And I fall back on my spouse, and I fall back on my children if I need them because they're now successful, you know. Or I fall back on my business. I fall back on my work. And when I get back to my normal, that's how I'm going to get back and get up and go. If I get back to my normal schedule, I'll be fine. I'll fall back on my training. You know, a Marine, a policeman, they fall back on their training. And God willing, they do exactly what's right. I fall back on my education. I fall back on my heritage. I fall back on all the lessons learned. And those things are not bad things, but they are, in fact, if we just rely on them, a way to run away from falling back on Jesus. Because when you fall back on Jesus, you usually are falling forward towards that thing that's causing you stress and strain. That's the hard thing. Usually Jesus does not say, what you need is a spa day. I wish he did. Now, sometimes I'm sure he does. What you need is a mani-pedi. What he usually says is, pick up your cross and let's roll. And man, that is not what I want to hear. What I want to hear is, I'll hold your cross and you stay 10 feet behind me and I'll protect you from all the bad stuff. But he says, let's go. Let's go. We remember the rock from which we were hewn, the granite from which we were cut with the hands of the Lord. We remember the quarry from which we were dug. We remember that all the other gods we have in the place of our God, all the little g gods, mean nothing to us, even though we had them all, our heritage and our family and our education and our training. They're all good things and used in conjunction and behind the name of Jesus Christ. They can be for his glory and to our benefit, but they're not what we run to first. In our pain, in our struggle, in our joys and successes, we lean into Jesus. That is how we do it. We find him on our knees. We find him in the study of the word. We find him in our selfless giving to others. We find him in worship. And we say, it's all yours. You are the rock from which I was hewn. You took me and made me out of dirt. You constructed my life. You knew what I was going to be while I was being knit together in my mother's womb. It is all you, Jesus. You are the center of my life, and therefore I will let you bless those things around me, praise you for that, and walk forward with the calling you have for me, which is not always what I have for myself. It is the struggle of the Christian. It is the blessing of the Christian. And it is the blessing of the Christian to be taken out to a world that needs a blessing right now. Without any debate, we live in a place that is bubbling like a boiling pot of water. It is the Word of God brought to the people who need Him by the people who have Him that will bring this place to a place of God's normal and God's grace. The challenge this week and for the rest of our lives is to lean into Jesus, especially when we feel like running away from Jesus. To lean into the gospel message, especially when we feel like the gospel message is too restraining for us. But in fact, it is the place of freedom and liberty. To fall on our knees in the face of God when we just as soon get up and walk away. Let's pray. And Father, you have challenged us greatly, and in those challenges you have made yourself known to us. We all have stories of struggle. We all have stories where we believe you were instrumental in our healing or our peace or our lack of struggle. And Father, we pray that as we move forward in our lives, in our careers, in our families, in our own pursuits, that we keep you as a center and the light that guides us. We have found you either at this church or somewhere before that, but we're here now in your name, and you have latched onto us, and your gifts are irrevocable, Lord God. Your love for us is not to be released from us. We are yours, adopted, planted in the ground, grafted into the vine, the children of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord God, and help us to be who you need us to be, to glorify your name and to bring your word to this hurting world. In Jesus' holy name, amen.